Good morning. Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council Study Session of Thursday, February 22nd to order. The first item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on future capital needs and potential funding sources.
Mayor, I'm going to kick it off, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. This morning, what our purpose, what we'd like to do is review with council what we would consider a over a five-year plan capital needs that we've identified of needs for the city. We've brought together what we've identified as really those needs that we really think are of great necessity to move forward. Today, we're really just going to focus on the needs assessment and kind of the description of some of the programs. As a result of our presentation to some of the council committee, some of, on the council have already heard parts of this presentation. So we wanted to bring it all together to bring a full package together of the capital needs. And again, this is just for a five-year program. So you'll hear presentations from transportation, fire, and the police department. So with that, I think Jeff Martin's going to kick it off.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I'd like to start out, talk a little bit, provide a little bit of background information. As some of you will recall, we presented this presentation to the Council's Transportation Committee last week, February 15th. Since then, we've included some additional expenditures to advance future regional transportation plan projects. In addition, as you'll recall, back in May of 2006, the Mesa voters approved a local sales tax increase of 0.3 cents, predominantly for street maintenance. The top priority, as you'll recall, for the new funds is operations and maintenance of existing streets. Annually, this equals about an increase of in the street maintenance budget of up to $20 million over our previous levels. Starts out at around $15 million and ratchets up to about $20 million over 5 years. The remainder of these funds are to fund capital projects, including street projects in the regional transportation plan, or as we refer to it as the RTP. The RTP reimburses up to 70% of the costs of projects, arterial street projects, in the regional transportation plan. As I alluded to earlier, we've added this additional provision here. $45.5 million of resources that are included in the plan represent future reimbursements resulting from the city's advancement of various projects in the 2008-2012 timeframe. What we've done is we've moved some of the arterial street projects up in the regional transportation plan. We had the city of Mesa had 54 arterial street projects. 25 of those projects were in the last 5 years of the plan. Logistically, that was not a plan that we could have constructed, and so we've moved a number of projects up. There are also projects that were of greater importance, so we couldn't wait 15 or 20 years to build. So we've moved several projects up for that reason. We wanted to let you know that there is $45 million in resources that will be reimbursed for after this five-year period. I'd also like to talk just a little bit about the MAG cost estimates. I think we talked about this previously. The fact that the MAG cost estimates are really too low. As we've gone in and looked at the different projects, we've noted that they're significantly low. In addition to that, these costs are adjusted by the Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, which typically is less than 3% annually. The reality is that inflation for materials and right-of-way has far exceeded our original expectations. In some cases, these inflationary costs have been in double digits in the last couple of years. The next thing I'd like to talk about is the update to our plan that we undertook. In late 2006, the Mesa staff began updating the estimates for the street improvements based on our recent experience. As this next bullet indicates, since 2003, the average cost for intersection improvements increased 55%. The full corridor widening projects are up 67% on average as we've gone in and updated these costs. And so we did a study on two of our routes that showed that intersection improvements actually provide about 80% of the benefit of a full mile corridor widening at roughly half the costs. So What we've done is we've gone in and we've looked at the projects where we can actually do intersection improvements instead of the full corridor widening, because we get 80% of the benefit at half the cost. And so we've, in updating the plan, we've looked at the various projects and we've reduced the scope of the projects that are in the plan where it's feasible. Also prepared a map that depicts the first 5 years of the RTP, which is what we're showing you here today, the projects that are here in Mesa. And this map reflects all of the RTP projects here in the first 5 years. Now here's the map, and I hope this map is fairly legible here up here on the screen. And again, this shows the first five years of the arterial projects here in Mesa. These are the projects that are funded in the regional transportation plan that was funded by, that's funded by the region. And you can see we've color-coded this map. Projects in year 2008 are in red. Projects in year 2009 are in that gold color, I think that's what that color is. 2010 is blue, 2011 green, 2012 is purple. And the projects that we've coded in black are projects that will start in the next 5 years in terms of design and right-of-way acquisition, but the construction would actually take place in the second phase. We wanted to give you a sense of the magnitude of what we're undertaking here over the next 5 years. It's about 21 projects, and you can see from all the little markings that kind of look like plus signs that we're really dividing these projects into intersection improvements. You can really see that on Southern Avenue, where you see a series of intersection improvements. Originally, that was a full corridor widening. You can see the same thing on McKellips. Okay, this next slide here depicts the regional transportation plan. Again, this is a five-year plan for fiscal years 2008 through 2012. These are the expenditures. And you can see here the magnitude of what we're talking about. For fiscal year 07-08, it's almost $42 million. Fiscal year 08-09, it's almost $44 million, and so on. On average, it's probably a little bit more than $50 million a year. And these are just in capital improvements to arterial streets here in the city. Over 5 years, we're looking at $248 million. And again, these are projects that are funded in the regional transportation plan, which requires a local match. The next slide here, we're talking about the capital improvement projects that we've got. This is our five-year CIP, or capital improvement program. And you can see the various categories that we've listed on here. We have our city share projects, where we participate with developers. And this is one of the larger categories here at $16.6 million. We've also included almost $24 million for ITS projects, or intelligent transportation system improvements. The reason for the large expenditure here is because the existing system that we have, the Sonex system, is failing. It's not supported anymore by the manufacturer. You can't get parts. And so we're replacing that with a new system called ICONS. And we have been for the last several years. We also have some funds in here for multi-use pathway projects, easy for me to say, about $6.8 million. We also have street reconstruction improvements in here as well, at about $16.5 million. And then other street improvements at about $12 million. The reason for the street reconstruction improvements in our CIP, this is something we've added here recently, is because as we've shifted to doing intersection improvements, we want to come back in and reconstruct these streets in between where the intersection improvements are taking place, because in many cases that pavement has failed and we need to reconstruct the pavement there on those streets. You can see the five-year total here is about $75.5 million. Next, I'd like to talk a little bit about the five-year transportation improvement plan we developed. In developing this plan, we went through and we refined it to limit the number of street capital projects for each year, to smooth it out so that we had a relatively equal amount of projects in each fiscal year. We also eliminated previous assumptions that we had been using regarding how we would finance the transportation improvement plan. And we established priorities for the use of the various revenue sources. And you can see the priorities right here. The first priority, obviously, is repayment of our debt costs. And then the second priority is operations and maintenance of our existing streets. This has been a priority in the development of the Mesa Transportation Plan. The third priority is existing capital improvement program. A lot of the expenditures in that CIP are ongoing commitments that we've made. And then the fourth priority is the regional transportation plan program. These are arterial street projects that are in the RTP. That's really similar to the same priority that we've got for the capital improvement program. We've kind of funded those together, and you'll see that as we get into the later slides. And what the transportation improvement plan shows is that there's quite a funding gap between the proposed projects and the revenues that are available. We've also developed a financial report that we'll get into here in a few minutes. The financial report illustrates the different funding sources that we use for each of the different kinds of expenditures. And the report illustrates for the highway user revenue funds, which are our gas tax monies that we receive from the state, that will fund the debt service as well as most of our operating and maintenance costs for our existing streets. And then the local sales tax that was approved by the voters last year for transportation funds the remainder of our operations and maintenance expenditures, plus a portion of the existing CIP and a portion of the local match for the regional transportation plan. Now, this is our transportation improvement plan. This first slide focuses on our revenue forecast. And you can see here that starting from the left-hand side of the document here, the first column indicates the highway user revenue fund sources. That's, again, the gas tax. We refer to it as the HERF. And we have a beginning fund balance of gas tax monies of about $5 million. And then you can see the revenues as they come in each year from fiscal year 2008 through 2012. And they go up slowly from $43 million and so on, about $227 million in revenues. Then the next column is the transportation sales tax that was approved recently by the voters. And that totals $162 million. And then you can see the other various revenues that come in, a very small amount of quality of life. And then we have a very small amount of bond proceeds. And then you can see the regional transportation plan reimbursements as they come in, and that totals about $86.5 million over the 5 years. When we presented this presentation previously, we actually showed all of the revenue, all of these RTP reimbursements as they're planned to come in, even though they didn't come in the first 5 years. So we showed about $136 million in RTP reimbursements. We've since adjusted that to reduce it down to about $86 million because about $45 or $50 million of these reimbursements do not come in these first 5 years. We as a city typically book them as a revenue when the projects are constructed, but $50 million would be quite a bit of money for us to carry over a five-year period. So we've gone in and changed this to simply reflect the reimbursements as they come in over that five-year period.
Are you reflecting your carrying cost for those advancements?
No. Mayor?
Yeah, Mayor, this is just the actual principal amount for the projects.
Right.
We haven't gotten into the cash flow and the finance, on the cost of financing it yet. We just want to focus on the actual project cost, if that's what you're asking.
It is, but depending on how much it costs to finance it, you might not be able to do it.
Well, right, but the reason we came to the conclusion that we would look towards advancing the dollars is as opposed to delaying the projects is the cost to finance was much less than the cost of inflation on construction projects. That's what we're proposing to council, is to advance the RTP program by about $50 million sooner than we would otherwise have the reimbursement, because we figured that in the end of the day, we'll actually save the money if we can finance it, the advancement, earlier than waiting and doing the project when the actual reimbursement comes.
So your materials and your construction cost index is going to exceed your CPI.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
By quite a bit. So you can see the total revenue forecast there is $477 million. And then the expenditure side of the equation, and again, working from the left to the right, you can see our debt service expenditures starts out a little bit low at $7 million and goes up to about $12 million over the 5 years for a total of about $53 million. And then you can see operations. That's operations and maintenance. Our O&M costs over the 5 years is $293 million. And then you can see the CIP capital, RTP capital, and so on. And again, we've listed these in priority order with debt service first, operations, CIP, RTP, and that's how the money flows through the program. You can see that the projected estimates or the projected estimates for expenditures are $672 million over the 5 years, and then the net shortfall is $195 million over that 5 years. And then these last two slides get at the document that we prepared that illustrates the revenues and how those revenues are expended. And on this first page, you see how the highway user revenue funds, as we refer to it as the HERF, the gas tax monies, how those monies are expended, as well as the local street sales tax. Starting with the highway user revenue fund at the top, you can see in 07-08, beginning fund balance of about $5 million. And then you can see the HERF revenues that come in that fiscal year of $42 million. From that, we then expend the funds for the debt service with those monies of $7 million, and then there's about $40 million left for operating expenditures. From there, then, we go down to the local street sales tax, and you can see a beginning fund balance of $8.7 million, and then you can see the revenues that come in of $27 million. Below that, you see the operating expenditures that we weren't able to fund with the highway user revenue funds, a remainder of about $10 million that we would fund first, and then you can see that there's $26 million available to carry forward for capital projects. And we've done that for fiscal year 08 and throughout the five-year program. And Brian, if you'll skip to the next slide here. Now you can see we've carried that $26 million forward. You can see the capital expenditures that we're listing here. First, we list the CIP capital expenditures, or a capital improvement program, of $14.3 million, and then the RTP capital projects of about $42 million, for a total of $56 million. You subtract the $26 million that's available for capital projects from that, and that leaves a difference of $30 million left to fund. And then you can see below that the different sources that are available for funding those remaining expenditures. And you can see we have some bond proceeds, and then we have the RTP reimbursements that kick in, quality of life, and some federal contributions. And the net difference in available funding is about $14.9 million for 07-08 and about $27 million for 08-09. And again, the five-year total is $194 million, or $195 million. So we spent quite a bit of time analyzing these expenditures and revenues as they come in. We've taken our financial analysis to a new level, which we're very, very proud of. A lot of work's gone into the development of this information. And as we get further into this presentation, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And Brian, I'll...
Mayor and Council, I'd just like to add that at the back of your presentation, there's about five attachments that are Jeff's full spreadsheets that identify the financial plan, as well as the five-year summary, as well as the RTP and the CIP planning for each of the 5 years. So that full detail is provided as a backup in your materials.
Yeah, but Brian's right. You can see this information is provided in the PowerPoint presentation that we just made, and you can see all of the detail in these, particularly the RTP projects. You can see each project listed and how much we spend for each fiscal year. The same thing for the CIP projects.
Okay. Question. Ready to take a few questions on transportation?
Sure.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Mayor. In the Transportation Committee, I think that we had, and it was just a few days ago, but I think we had asked for the same information that the Mayor was just talking about, and that is we wanted to see the cost projected out of, you know, what we thought it would cost if we built it later on, versus the carrying costs for the financing of it. And I'm assuming that you're working on getting that information
yes,
for us.
Yes, we are.
Okay,
we
thank
are.
You.
Tom?
Thank you, Mayor. It's probably going to be one of those simple answers to a question, but we're advancing, as I see from slide four, $45.5 million of RTP.
Right.
Okay. The total, though, is 248. And if we take out what we're advancing, which is over and above what we should be doing, it's about $203 million of projects. If the region is supposed to reimburse us at 70%, why are we only getting $86 million rather than $140 million?
Well, the simple answer to the question is we're not being reimbursed 70% of the cost of these projects. And that's, I think, one of the main differences. What the slide indicated is that we're reimbursed up to 70%. And what happened, as I indicated, is that the estimates, and we talked about this a year ago when we were going through all this before the election, the estimates that MAG did to put together this program are too low for the various projects. And it isn't just Mesa that was impacted in this way, it's the entire region was impacted in this way. And then the other thing that happened is that MAG is using the Consumer Price Index, which generally runs less than 3%, to adjust.
Okay, then the 248 is what you're projecting as actual construction costs, not the MAG estimates?
Exactly.
Okay, now that's the simple answer to the question, because it now makes sense. Okay, thank you. So the $86 million is 70% of what the original estimates were with the advance backed out.
Right.
Or up to 70%. I don't want to use that number as a fixed number, but okay, that makes perfect sense now.
The funds that come in from MAG are capped with the CPI adjustments.
Right.
So they've limited their exposure on these costs.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mayor and Councilman, I think maybe the better phraseology should be is that is the amount of money that will be reimbursed from RTP. Whatever it is, I mean, as far as whatever the project costs, that's what the project costs are, but the RTP dollars now are just fixed at an amount. And so whatever, that percentage is now going to be variable because that amount is fixed.
Why are the CIP capital projects in front of the RTP projects? Why wouldn't you analyze the projects just on a benefit basis and not necessarily rank one higher than the other?
Well, Mayor, the reason is because a number of the projects that are in the CIP are projects that we were committed to previously. Agreements with the county, agreements with ADOT, plus the city share program. I think as a practical matter, we really evaluate those two really together in terms of what we fund first, the CIP and the RTP. We don't have enough funds to fund either of them, and so we're really funding the two of them together and going back and forth. We had to choose one over the other, and so we put CIP first. We could, I suppose, put the RTP first if we really had to.
I think I'd base it more on carrying capacity and accidents and need than I would just picking one or the other.
Right. And you know, Mayor, one of the things we've done is we've gone through this CIP list and we've tried to eliminate everything we could. We've reduced the scope. We've deferred projects. It's not to say that we couldn't reduce and defer more, but
You've gone through a ranking by doing that already?
Yes. And you know, there aren't any frills or any real, you know, Cadillac-type things that we're doing in here. These are basic things that we're doing.
Okay. Let me call your attention, if I could, to page 7, the map. And I have a question on the 2010, the railroad just above Williams Gateway.
Yes.
Is that being accelerated, or was that when it was in the regional transportation plan? I thought that was like 2015.
It's actually even later than that, Mayor. It's in phase four. This is one of the projects that we felt, based on the development that's going on around Williams Gateway Airport, we needed to advance. And so this project is in the 2020 range, and we've advanced it up to.
Is this assuming that the developers will then give us a right of way?
Yes, it is, Mayor.
Okay.
In reducing the scope of these projects, one of the things that we did is we looked at the projects, particularly on the eastern side of the city, to take a look at what we thought the developers would contribute and try to match up with that. And so we did not include, I think we included $500,000 for right-of-way acquisition for this project.
This one I'm fairly familiar with, having negotiated this thing for about 3 years and then fell apart twice and came back. And if it comes back together, great, but if it falls apart, just let them wait till 2015.
Understand.
Okay, all right. Val?
Back to the where Tom left off, I think it's important to understand that it's important that MAG limited their exposure. Otherwise, projects later in the down the line would never get done, because if they tried to fund it without a cap on it, would never get everything done, period. So it makes it equal for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I, comment-wise, too, here we're looking at our CIP projections, and we know right up front that we're $195 million short of what we really need to do. What is our real proposal to do then? We don't have the money to do it. What are we going to cut?
Well, Mayor, Councilmember Jones, Yeah, I guess that's the question that we're going to have to wrestle with. How will we do these projects? One of the things that the council talked about back when we were doing the sales tax election was the possibility of issuing bonds to finance some of these projects. What we're really doing is looking at, for the most part, funding the match, the local match, for the projects in the regional transportation plan. And we knew back when we looked at the local sales tax that was primarily going to fund operations and maintenance of our existing street network, and that's really where the vast majority of that money is going, and that there wasn't enough money to, with a 0.3-cent sales tax increase for transportation, to also fund the local match for all of these 54 arterial street projects in the regional transportation plan, particularly when you consider that MAG has limited their exposure on these cost increases and the city is now absorbing them. So at some point in time, we're going to need to look at some way to either finance these projects, or some of these projects won't get built. Potentially some of the money will go back to the region.
But in reality, what we need to focus on is being able to get as much of the MAG money as is available to us, but that requires a match on our part.
Exactly.
Mayor, Councilmember Jones, let me just add that as we've talked about our forecast in the past, we again continue to focus on current level of staffing, really current level of service. These, as well as the needs of the fire department and the police department, are identified issues that are really related to growth and related for us beyond our current forecast. So what they are, again, are identified needs. And those needs, then we will have to figure out how, again, then to afford those. But they're above and beyond what we have currently forecasted as our continuing level of staffing, continuing level of service.
MAG has some flexibility to switch around because it's capacity in corridors. So you could take another arterial and fix it up, and if you have three of them planned, you could do a little bit more in the middle one. So there's some flexibility that's allowed within that system also. But I think the foresight of saying, here's the dollar magnitude of what you get for your region and your road system, limits everyone in the valley. It's a little different than when they put the bus grid system up and said, we'll fund the grid system, and at what level? And that's a debate everyone's having right now.
Right.
We're not having that on the arterial street systems because we know the money's locked, and that you just get that dollar magnitude per project. So it's a lot cleaner, in my opinion, to work with that understanding. We just never anticipated, I think, the energy cost increases to the magnitude that they are for steel and concrete and asphalt, and the rest has just gone way up out of sight from what historical trends would have been, and we've got caught in that dilemma.
Right, and Mayor, can I just add also, what the staff has given you is the what we believe is our, it's not only tied to the idea of funding, but it's also designed, the scope here or the magnitude of the program is in balance with what we think as the staffing levels that we have, a staff that we can oversee and move projects out. So what I asked Jeff and his folks to do was to say, okay, for the next 5 years, what's our capacity in the sense of staffing and pushing the projects out? And that's kind of a balance of what you have here, is saying we can suggest we can do the 248 million or whatever the number was of total projects. And then we went back and said, okay, then where are the financial resources? And that's where we came up with the difference. And yet at the same time, we acknowledge that we are doing projects faster than they are scheduled under the RTP program, but it's not difficult to understand that, you know, a 5.5% borrowing cost on bonds versus what are we at annually percentage increase in construction now?
It's roughly double digits. It's a little over.
Probably 10 to 15%. Yeah. Annually on construction costs, that those numbers work to our favor to try to do them sooner. And we can certainly cost those out as from a dollar perspective of what that savings would be. But it's kind of a discussion we had on the Williams Freeway, and the idea of advancing dollars sooner for right-of-way acquisitions and things like that. It's just that concept that if we can do the projects now, we can even find a way, even if we have to borrow the money, the funds, that it actually is to our advantage in the long term, because that we believe that the borrowing cost is much less than the actual cost of inflation.
Well, that fits into the governor's going from 20 years to 30 years on long-term borrowing, too, then, if we...
I think you have to exercise reason on the total carrying cost of it.
Okay. The O&M, you've got some more projects outlined, some intersections. How much, and we're talking about one of the top priorities is keeping up with O&M.
Right.
How much does this add to future O&M operations? Is it part of this? Because we always talk about we can build a project, but
right.
we just can't operate and maintain it. And you have the same thing with road.
Right. You can see in the, well, it isn't the slide that's up here right now, but we have about $293 million over the 5 years in O&M expenditures. And you can see the very first year in 2008. You have that up there?
Mm-hmm. So it goes up proportionally to the additional square yards of asphalt that's put out
Yes,
there?
It does. We've inflated this. You can see it starts at $50 million and it goes up to $66 million. I think that previously we were around almost $37 million, I think a year or two ago for our O&M expenditures. And again, what you're seeing here is the cost of inflation to buy the materials for
right.
doing
but
our
But I also wanted to make sure that the new projects added that
yes,
are expanded
right,
that we've captured it.
That's all in here. So right. we've seen quite an increase in our O&M expenditures in order
okay.
to be able to keep up.
That's it then. Councilmember Griswold.
Just sort of piggybacking on that, what inflation factor do you use trying to guesstimate what asphalt and concrete is going to cost 5 years out?
For this program, Councilmember Griswold, we've used 5% for the next 10 years to adjust for inflation over the next 10 years. What we did first is we brought up our expenditures to what the market is right now, and we've used 5% off into the future as our benchmark. It's hard to know where these costs are going to go, you know, from 1 year to the next, but we thought 5% was a pretty good number to use over a 10-year period.
As you said, it's been double digits for the last couple of years.
Right.
You think that's going to,
you know,
slow down?
I'm hoping that it does, but, you know, we really don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, and they've increased so dramatically over the last couple of years. I don't think that we're going to continue to see those kinds of increases. And so what we did is we adjusted for the increases that have taken place over the last couple of years, and then we used 5% to adjust from there. And done it over a long period of time on the idea that those costs would even out over a 10-year period.
Thank you.
Vice Mayor.
Okay, but if you do that, Jeff, then doesn't it become less productive to borrow at 5.5% if what you're looking at inflation-wise is 5%? I mean, because that isn't what we've really seen. We haven't seen 5%, and the problem with the reimbursement, and I agree that MAG had to do what they did in order to do what Councilmember Jones said. You had to constrain the costs there, otherwise at the other end people would have really gotten the shaft. But then where do we end up?
Well, you know, I mean, we need to use a number to try to project what inflation is going to be. And, you know, I guess what we tried to do is use a fairly high inflation number over a long period of time on the idea that those numbers would even out over that longer period of time. In the short run, it may still be in the double digits for the next couple of years. But if we use a 5% inflation factor over a longer period of time, the idea was that it would even out over that period. That was the theory.
And Mayor Hawker, Vice Mayor Walters, we'll work on that analysis as we come back with funding priorities, because some of these projects were moving up 15 and 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
As Jeff said, the Ray Road projects in the 2020, I think,
yes.
2015, 2020 timeframe. So the quantitative or the cumulative cost of that inflation versus the cumulative cost of our borrowing at a fixed amount, 5.5% over time, I think we'll see those differences when we bring that analysis back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on transportation? All right, let's go into, looks like public safety.
Mayor, members of the council, as you know, the fire service requires a significant amount of infrastructure in the form of fire stations and fire apparatus. And the city's financial constraints over those last several years have caused us to fall way behind in addressing our current needs as well as the needs for the future. As a result, we have seen the last 2 years our response times grow by 27 seconds, which is extremely high rate of increase, very indicative of the fact that we're pretty much at our maximum capacity in terms of providing service with the current resource levels. Our original request, and we first had the opportunity to talk to council about the items we're going to cover again today, was back in the summer of 2005. If you recall, that was during the time when the city was considering eliminating hundreds of positions just to balance the budget. Our current request has been pared back significantly and even further than it was at that time in 2005 when we made our first request. The current request does not include any remodel needs that we would have with our existing facilities. This does not include classrooms, space that's necessary at our training academy for both police and fire. And it does not include a permanent EOC facility. We have focused on those particular capital needs that would have the most direct impact on our ability to provide service levels, maintain our response time, and hopefully reduce the rate that our response times are increasing. With me today is Chief Bradbury, is going to outline a very conservative list of our capital needs from fiscal year 07 through fiscal year 11-12.
Thank you. Mayor and Council, we've included in our proposal fire station construction, apparatus replacement, land purchases and optical signal preemption installations, and two station rebuilds, and we'll go through those. On the map in front of you, you can see our deployment plan, which we've presented before. The four station sites that you see in green are our current priorities that we've also discussed. And then you can also see in the gray shaded areas, we've got the future fire stations for future land purchases. In the next graphic display, we've got the 4-minute response areas. We've discussed this with you before as well. And in that 4-minute response plan, you can see that East Mesa is in need of coverage. And this plan we're bringing before you represents coverage for that East Mesa area, as well as infill for the West Mesa. On fire station construction for new fire stations, we've got fire station 218 at A Street and Alma School. That station is currently funded by quality of life sales tax for the personnel and also the apparatus. The station construction is not funded, however, at this time. Station 219, we propose to go in the 56th and Main area. Station 220, Signal Butte and Elliott. And basically for the two new stations, 219 and 220, the O&M costs for that run 1.3 to 1.4 million and also are not funded in the current budget. The infill station 218 is obviously needed to increase service the increasing demands in West Mesa, and the growth stations of 219 and 220 are needed to increase the expansion in East Mesa that's currently ongoing in development. The fire apparatus replacement, in the 5-year time frame, there are 13 pumpers, 2 ladders, 1 aircraft rescue firefighter unit, 1 command van, and 1 airlight unit. In these numbers, these are all replacement units other than 2 additional units for stations 219 and 220. Land purchases, we're looking, our highest priority area is Broadway Longmore site for one of the next stations. We've got the 56th Street and Main area that we're looking at as a priority. And we also need additional stations and station sites in East Mesa at Power and McKellips, Broadway and Ellsworth, and also Chrisman and Ray. And the last item on the page is the optical signal preemption. And this is a continuation of a current project that allows us to have opticom signaling access for improvement of our response times. Also included are 2 fire station rebuilds, fire station 203, which was built in the 1950s, and also fire station 215 out at Gateway, that is a reuse of a military facility. Both facilities were constructed in the 1950s, and neither facility meets current requirements for staffing, et cetera.
Why so high on 215?
Excuse me?
The price of 215, the station is double what the normal station is. Why?
Station 215 is in about the 90% plan completion rate, and we're projecting that station to be right at 7.2 million. It's just under double the price of a standard community fire station, And the reason for that is it's a dual-purpose station. It covers the runways for the ARF, or aircraft rescue firefighting activity, and also a fire station that covers the community with a standard pumper ladder truck.
I believe we also have space there, Mayor, for the police operation that runs out of the airport. It's also within that same facility.
That is correct.
All right.
In total, for the public safety program for the fire department for 2008 through 2012 is $40,800,000.
With that, Mayor, we'd be happy to take any questions.
I think the question on the $40 million, that's just capital?
Yes, that's correct.
But I think the one station had quality of life for operation.
Our current engine 218 has been purchased, and the staffing is provided through quality of life. We do not have any funding earmarked for the construction of that station.
Mayor, this does not include, the $40 million does not include, or does it include? Does not include. Well, we need, we have a need for four stations, two of which would be either a replacement of an existing station, or we need a state. We have a company of firefighters without a station. So we have the staffing for two of the four. We need on the two additional stations. We would need to add the operational cost to cover the manpower for the two state.
And that's another $1.5 million a year per station
for each station.
Right.
That'd be the estimate by about 2012.
Okay. Mike.
Chief, are the CAD total upgrades and the communication 800, 900 upgrades in the PD budget, or are those additional that are not listed here?
Mr. Councilman, we are actually, that will be in the $20 million that we're talking about here.
Thank you.
Okay. Rex.
Williams Gateway pays us for some of the fire and police services we provide there. Do they participate in capital costs at all? Have we asked them to? The authority there?
No. Councilmember Griswold, the answer to that is no. However, as we understand, there's considerable development going on in that area, and we're looking at opportunities to maybe begin to share some of those costs with the airport.
I'm just thinking that Phoenix is our new partner. They've asked what they can do to be a better partner. There's a possibility along those lines. So.
Vice Mayor.
Along the same lines, if we had passenger facilities charges that were coming off of the airport right now, then those, my understanding is that those could be used to build the fire station that's servicing the airport needs. Is that correct?
You know, Mayor, Vice Mayor, I think we have to look in that, but PFC charges are very restricted on how they can be used. I think what it would do, though, is it would allow you to free up for other capital costs that you're having to cover today. And I don't know the answer specifically, but there, I mean, the idea that the airport should be looking at some point helping us recover the cost specifically to the fire services on site is not uncommon. Most airports cover not only the capital costs, but the ongoing operations that require to cover that. But we're already contributing $1.5 million or whatever it is annually from our own budget. So,
well, I'm going to get to a point, but when I talked to some folks in Phoenix, they told me that they allocate to the airport whatever the costs are that are for operating at the airport. I don't know whether they did that with the capital costs or not, and I would like to know, because if we can do that, then we could advance this as a loan to the airport and get repaid down the line. And that's where I'm going to. I think if we can do that, as opposed to just saying, well, we're going to pay for this and not put it into that pot of money that we are loaning, or however we're saying it, you know, whatever it is that we're saying, our contribution to the airport, then we have the potential down the road to recover at least part of these costs. And I would rather go that direction than not.
And Vice Mayor, I just add, and you said, I think, part of these costs, because again, as Gary stated, there's half of the station is devoted to non-airport activities in the campus and area.
Understood. And, but part of it, I believe, was also for police, and I think the same thing could apply there. I just think we need to find out the answer to the question. Can we use repayment from the airport at a future point in time to pay capital costs, not just operational? And, but I would say the same thing about our operational costs. Are we listing those in our loan to Williams Gateway so we can recapture them later on? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't, they're not being listed, to my knowledge, on the contribution loan. Every city that contributes actually gets a note back from their contribution. After it breaks even, those notes are paid back off. But I don't think that this is part of that other ongoing yearly contribution, and might be.
Let's look at it.
Just take a look. Any other questions, Tom?
The land acquisition costs, are they totally different than the fire station construction cost?
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay. And I probably not going to appreciate doing this, but when I add up your totals, I come to 44.3 million, not 40.8.
Let's look at it. Thank you.
Just from a simple question of math, it adds another 3.5 million, but.
You may be right.
Do you have a calculator over there, Tom?
Pardon me?
Are you just doing that? Okay.
Handwritten numbers just adding up. It just didn't make.
A lost art.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, fire department, police department.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the police department, quite frankly, we, given the incredible financial conditions of the city, we're being very, very conservative. I have to start by saying that in reality, the police department, just in capital improvements, and this would be a no-frills approach, for the next 5 to 6 years, really needs around $60 million. Having said that, we're going with $20 million, and this is really has to do strictly with our computer-aided dispatch. By the year 2011, both police and fire will have to go to a paper and pencil computer dispatch system unless we replace what we have. The manufacturer will no longer serve as a system by 2011. It will need to be completely operated, or we'll be dispatching the old-fashioned way. The radio operator will be given out a call. The person in the other end will write down the location and respond to the location. That, I am being told, that would cost approximately $20 million. There are other projects that sometime in the future we're going to have to take a look at. We're fortunate enough that there was some good foresight in the building of the two later stations, the Red Mountain Station and Superstition, and that both of the stations have the ability to become dual stations so that we could set up a split command to take part of the workload that we currently are anticipating in the growth in the Superstition area, and the same thing for Red Mountain. So as we look towards the future, we believe that we can build split commands in those two stations. The land is already there. And in those two cases, we're looking at approximately $3.5 million per station. That is not included in the $20 million. Another thing that we're looking at is that also the Dobson station is in completely inadequate for the needs. That station will probably cost significantly more because we need to talk about land acquisition. The current piece of real estate that we have there would not be appropriate to build a new station there. We're anticipating, and this is purely a guesstimate, that between land and construction costs, whenever we decide to embark on that project, we'll be looking at closer to $7 million. Other issues that are coming up is that we need to think about a redundant data center for the police department, quite frankly, for the rest of the city. The estimations of data, it would be somewhere around the $18 to $20 million range. Also, we need to consider that although we don't need to build a complete duplicate of our communication center, as some other cities have done, because we believe that there are some technological ways to get around that, we do have to consider that at some point we have to start thinking about redundant communication systems, not necessarily a bricks and mortar location, but that we have to upgrade some of the systems that we currently have. The estimations of those costs at today's dollars are approximately $11 million. There are other things, too, that we're really in a crisis mode that has to do with our jail system. We currently have a facility that holds approximately 37 people. We are at a situation now where many nights we're having to release lower-grade misdemeanors instead of keeping them in custody, because we have to prioritize and put in people that are being detained and arrested for higher-grade crimes. The estimation is that at some point in the future, we're going to need at least another 25 spaces somewhere in the eastern part of the city. And quite frankly, in the next few years, we really need to look at the whole jail situation for the city. We either continue to work with the county and see the escalating cost, or we get into the detention business ourselves, or we create a regional agreement with other cities. Quite frankly, the current situation is insupportable. We're having people that should not be released. We're releasing them. They're being arrested for a low-grade misdemeanor, but these are people that also commit other types of crime. They just happen to be arrested that day for that low-grade misdemeanor. They're coming back, and they're re-victimizing our community. We're spending a tremendous amount of time and effort having to go find them again. We're having people that we're citing back to court with full knowledge that they're not going to show up. It goes to a warrant, then we got to go look for them. So frankly, the $20 million that we're talking about today is just, is I wouldn't even consider it bare bones. It's just to avoid a crisis, a meltdown in our communication system. In the next few years, the city's going to have to take a really hard look at policing services, and I would recommend that at some point that we hire a consultant and we do a very global analysis that would include both facilities, equipment, and future growth of personnel.
Okay. I think we've all talked about the difference between capital purchases and the ones that require operations. It sounds like a lot of what you're suggesting is a capital purchase.
That's
a one-time deal, and you don't have the existing operation and maintenance of the or the personnel costs. I guess I would be, you know, some of them, as you pointed out, the communications, if it fails, you go back to a system that's totally
inadequate.
So I'd like to follow up a little bit more, and I know we've got the Public Safety Committee to look at those needs to see if at some point we can go out to a bond election that would accomplish what we need to and put that dollar magnitude in and figure out how it works in the debt service over time to make sure that our public safety aspect, and I think we've got some of the same aspects, although not quite as much, being brought forward with fire department. The fire department also comes with a whole lot of personnel. But for the first time, it sounds like some of the police department needs are not personnel-driven as much as technology-driven. So I'd like to take a serious look at that to see what in at some future time, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, or 4 years, or whatever it is, that we can go back to the citizens and say, this is what we need to make sure we keep up an adequate level of service and public safety. So I appreciate your comments here this morning.
Absolutely. And just if I may add one thing, my goal is before we ever come back to you and ask for more people, and eventually we will, by the way, because it's going to be a necessary thing, but I'm really trying to make us as efficient as we can. I am not convinced that we are as efficient as we can be. And I'm not saying this just as a Mesa Police Department. I think policing in general could use a tremendous amount of re-engineering, if you will. So I'm really looking for technological fixes, and quite frankly, some of those, as Mr. Brady is well aware, I'm negotiating with vendors, trying to get very special arrangements that would really reduce the cost significantly, that will make us more efficient first, trying to work partnership with other local police departments, and then only after we do all those things would I ever come back to you for more people.
Okay. Mike?
Chief, the CAD upgrades start relatively quickly, don't they? We need seed money within the next year to start contract negotiations, and I think it was over a 3 or 4 year period we were going to upgrade.
That is correct, Mr. Whalen. Yes.
So what we would need to do is get something out relatively quickly. Maybe a smaller package, and then subsequently in the next year or two, a larger package.
Okay. How long have we had the CAD system in place? And it always makes me a little upset when I find out the operators are no longer going to service the system we have.
It's the frequency. It's the fact we can't use 400 anymore.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when the current system came in place, but yeah, it is the upgrade in the radio system.
And the frequency changed because Congress, or who changed the frequency?
I'm not really sure.
Channels are full?
It's full.
Is that the 800, 900 megahertz switch?
That was 800, that was the FCC.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Chief, we've looked at the jailing thing before. It's a dilemma, because getting into the jailing business on a really wide-scale basis is not something that this council has ever really been interested in doing. What is the rationale for not using, for releasing people as opposed to putting them into the county system?
The cost of booking in the county continues to go up. We're experiencing now it's approximately $140 for the first night, and we seem to continue to get increases in the cost of putting people in there. So we're trying to weigh the two. We have spent approximately $3.5 million a year in booking in the county for misdemeanor bookings. And as a matter of fact, this year we're anticipating, for our budget, we're requesting $5 million because we anticipate the cost to go up. And frankly, I'm also putting a lot of pressure so that we increase our arrest. We're going very aggressively after repeat offenders and those people that are causing the most problems in the community. And that's going to increase our booking fees.
Well, we appreciate you doing that. We want you to go after those folks. These booking fees are a constant source of headache to us, and I think it comes as a surprise to a lot of people who thought when they voted for the tax that paid for the jails, I think they thought that they were paying for the jailing costs as well. And I know we've done what we can to recapture those jailing costs from the people who are being jailed, but the fact of the matter is that a lot of those folks don't have any money.
They don't. And the other problem, too, as you well know, we no longer have a local jail. That jail was shut down, so we're spending a tremendous amount of time driving,
yes.
Which even though that we have now created a transportation system, is still when you there are many times where you simply have to have the officer has to drive the suspect to county jail. Which that could be anywhere from a 2 to 3 hour process. So there are other expenses that are not even included in that daily booking fee, and those are equivalent to FTEs. Those are officers that are not patrolling our streets. They're standing or driving to a jail. We're having problems with the courts, frankly, a presiding judge wanting more and more cases to be taken to Phoenix, which means that our people have to spend more overtime or if they're on duty at that time, driving to Phoenix in order to provide testimony. The region needs to come to grips with the fact that this is not a Phoenix Center region anymore, that Mesa is a very large facility, and that we can, at some point, we're going to have to do something about having to drive to Phoenix to book people or to go to court for many of these cases. It's going to become unbearable.
It sounds to me like we need to talk with our county supervisors again about this, because that's really the relationship that needs to take place. Okay, thank you.
Tom?
Just to follow up, make sure that we're talking about the same thing, Chief. Anybody who's arrested for a felony no one gets cited and released with a felony.
Right, that's correct.
They get booked.
They get booked, and if we don't have, we'll take it to county jail.
Right, and so what we're talking about in terms of the discretion of releasing are people who are charged with misdemeanors.
That's correct. The problem is that many times, though, someone may be arrested for a low-grade misdemeanor,
right,
but he or she is one of our 10 percenters. We know they're burglars, they're robbers, they just happen to get picked up for shoplifting. And sometimes those people are being released.
No, and I understand that, but again, I didn't want the public at large to think that we're turning out, we're not booking the more serious offenders.
We would never release those folks. If domestic violence, violent criminals, felonies, those do not get released.
Right, and even the domestic violence misdemeanors are ones that you don't
cite. That's correct. Domestic violence, even misdemeanors, we do not.
And the assaults and those kinds of things, but a shoplifting or a
DUI.
DUIs. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted the public to understand what we were
minor
not
theft.
What we were not talking about.
No, absolutely not. And I would not. Thank you for bringing that up.
Right.
But it is important to know
Yes.
Some of those folks are, the same folks that are also committing serious crimes, they just happen to get picked up in the lower grade.
It is amazing how the criminal population tends to be concentrated on a, not necessarily on a few, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of things, as opposed to one person getting caught once.
10% of the people commit 55% of the crime.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, Rex, Kyle, Scott.
Just going on the jail part, we paid for our taxes to build a jail down here on 60th and Javelina, and I understand the sheriff will not staff that. It's costing us almost as much as putting someone in a nice hotel to keep somebody up.
Frankly, I would love to work something with a Marriott. It would cost us less. We bring people from outside to train our people, and we pay about $87 a night in the Marriott. So.
Yeah. Is there any way we can co-opt with the use of the jail, the one, local one down here on Javelina and 60th?
I have not explored it personally, but I've asked, and I've been told that the answer to that has been no in the past.
Yeah, I looked at that about 2 years ago on whether we put nursing staff or sheriff, because I just knew driving in the traffic and getting stuck. One of our officers driving to Phoenix is just, with the traffic, we lose them all day.
It's going to get worse, as you well know.
Yeah.
I mean, traffic is not getting better.
The other one, is there any money in here for the license plate readers, et cetera? We have some of the highest car theft rates.
And that's we're working on the license plate readers, cop link, and those things through other agreements. We purposely are keeping all those things out of this. We're trying to look for other ways to finance that stuff.
Because they're fairly expensive, but they're very effective if you can afford them.
And we plan to put one in each station. We currently have two operational. We plan to have four. But you're,
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle?
Okay, then follow up to the discussion we had several weeks ago talking about the need for tapping into the databases that we are not currently doing. Is that going to be included in this, the software upgrades and so forth? Or is that a totally different package that we're talking about?
This is purely the dispatching system.
So this is the dispatching system, period, and everything else
everything
we still
else
have
is
to
still
look at.
That's correct. Now, we're looking for ways to try to get this, we're looking for some creative ways of making those things occur for us.
So your initial statement of you're only looking at $20 million for the dispatch, but your needs are really, what was it, $60
million? Well, $60 million, and again, even that is a no-frills approach. I mean, the $20 million is avoiding meltdown.
Avoiding the meltdown, but we still need to seriously have those other issues addressed, the license plate readers, but the other databases and so forth.
Now, just so that you know, though, I believe, and Mr. Brady and I have been discussing this, I believe that we're going to be able to get those resolved through other means, and we'll be coming to you when, as a matter of fact, I'm meeting with the president and CEO of COPLINK this Friday. We have InfoCop, which is another software system. We worked out an agreement that they're going to give us a six-month pilot program. They want to make us a beta site. And we're probably going to have that system here in place at no cost to us initially, other than in-kind contribution of our people working on it in the next couple of months, 2 or 3 months. So there are some other things that we're trying to do, quite frankly, in a very unorthodox way, but frankly, because we don't have the money. I'm finding myself here, I feel like if I was going to go out and buy a used car, I'm bargaining and twisting arms and people are hanging up the phone when I call them now because I'm becoming a pest.
But this is all the database and record-keeping software you talk about that is separate from the dispatch.
This is purely dispatch only.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Scott?
Mike. Chief, what other cities are having the same problem with regard to the outdated software for CAD, the hardware? Is Phoenix also upgrading their system, Gilbert, Chandler, Scottsdale?
I don't have an answer. I can find out for you, but I don't know what the...
Because I'm wondering if there's some, if they're also having the same problem, that perhaps there's an economy to be had here with getting together, buying similar systems that would solve interoperability problems, create an economy of scale for purchase, that type of thing.
I don't know. Do you know the answer to that, Chief?
I do know that they're in the process of looking at a new computer-aided dispatch system in Phoenix. I'm not sure of the dates or the time frame, and they are looking at a model that's similar to ours, where it would be the hardware and the infrastructure would basically be a police fire infrastructure. And in addition, I think that holds some future for us in terms of redundancy and backup centers if we can basically be completely integrated and compatible with Phoenix, then each city can back up the other, and we both save the expense of investing in a backup center. So there's a lot of possibilities there.
And just so you know, I mean, currently, we do have some limited capability of backing each other up. If our system went completely down, Phoenix will be able to dispatch our fire and police. If their system went completely down, we would be able to do some. The reality is obviously that that would be, you would be really limited only to high priority calls at that point, but there is the ability to switch between the two comm centers.
Can we dispatch Phoenix or vice versa in its entirety or only portions of the city?
It would be just limit entirety, but only limited to, as it was explained to me, it would be limited only to very, the highest emergency calls only.
And the CAD wouldn't work? The automatic locators wouldn't work?
I don't have an answer to that.
Chief, how about on the fire?
Are you talking in today's?
AVLs. Incident locators in the CAD. That would not work, right?
It depending on which systems failed in the dispatch center. But currently, fire has the ability to, we currently share all of our GPS information with Phoenix because with automatic aid, we share resources on a routine basis. So we don't have all of the Phoenix units logged into our system for available dispatch, but the majority of them on the east side of Phoenix, we do. So it's already pretty integrated, and we're already in a position in terms of fire to back each other up fairly well.
Okay. The reason for that question simply is that, for anybody who doesn't know, the mapping system tells you the location of the call. If that were to fail, that just creates more seconds, tags on to trying to find it, flipping through map books, trying to locate where a call is, as opposed to having it on the computer. And are we still trying to leverage what's left of the Homeland Security Grant Program for some of the funding of this capital cost? Are we making applications for that?
I don't believe that this particular application here, that there's any Homeland Security money at this point that is allocated for this.
Okay.
That's fine. Mike?
Just to follow up, I didn't see any aviation-related capital. We've, in the past, put our helicopter program through the bond programs.
Right.
And I know you've thought about some fixed-wing opportunities.
Right. Yeah, what I'm trying to negotiate now, and I'm hoping, in fact, in the next few weeks, is to bring a fixed-wing that we can play with. I'm hoping to create a hybrid aviation unit. We can operate a fixed-wing for a fraction of the cost of what you can operate rotor. There is still a need for rotor, but I believe that if we can go to a hybrid unit, we can cut our costs significantly. Not counting labor costs, rotor right now is costing us approximately $300 an hour. I believe that I can go to fixed wind for about $85 to $90 an hour. There are some limitations in the fixed wind, but some of those limitations are mitigated by current technology. We could probably fly at a ceiling of about 10,000 feet, and with some of the technology that we have today, we can have the same visuals that we get out of a helicopter at 1,500 feet. The other thing that I'm trying to explore is maybe creating a regional agreement with some other agencies. There are other cities that we help currently, and they would like to have more air coverage, and we believe that maybe we can share the cost. One of the things that I'm looking at is possibly, instead of purchasing an airplane, is actually leasing an airplane. We can lease, at least I'm looking at one model now. It's an Australian single engine, real rugged, short landing, short takeoff unit that can you can create almost like a mini AWAC. The Civil Air Patrol is using them. Those planes are running around $500,000. We can believe that we can put an electronics package of about another 250. So for about $750,000, we could have a pretty good system that we could actually fly up to 8 hours at a time. A leasing cost for that would probably run around $10,000, maybe $12,000 a month. If that were to be shared with a couple of other agencies, you can see we can get the cost down significantly. And because it's a new unit, your downtime for services will be minimized. Also, this unit has been designed in such a way that is very simple to maintain. Again, it will not replace rotor, but it would be a good complement. Currently, we're really flying less than 10 hours a day, which is inadequate. I personally experience, I go out in ride-alongs, and I've experienced Friday night requesting a rooftop check, which I'm used to in my prior agency. That was just automatically, and the officer I was riding with kind of started laughing, and he says, well, you know, I'll request one. And of course, the air unit wasn't able to come because they were down. So we have some significant problems with air coverage, and air coverage is critical to modern policing. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. And given our financial needs, we're just going to have to get more creative. And hopefully, I'm anticipating that maybe by creating a hybrid process with fixed and rotor that we can accommodate that.
Thanks.
All right. Any other questions, please? Brady.
Mayor, we appreciate council time. We wanted to present these items to you. We certainly can go back, and there are obviously some areas that we can elaborate on. But at some point, we do need to have a discussion about where we go from here, because these are needs, as you can see, in many cases, that are needs that exist today. And so we need to really continue to have the dialogue about then how do we go to address it. These are capital needs that at this point, as we've identified the funding, there are no identified revenue sources in the existing forecast today. But the concern we have as staff is that these needs are not going to go away, and in some ways, some cases, those needs will become more critical. And as capital needs are, the lead time to actually implement and design and implement the improvements are, there's, you know, year and a half, 2 years in some cases. So we'll need to continue to have a dialogue with council about next steps after this and how we begin to address it, because they are, we don't have programmed in any new debt issuance or debt or available bonds to authorize bonds to sell that would cover these. We wouldn't recommend that. We've got the forecast model already established with the current debt service, and so we would have to find new revenue sources to pay for these capital needs, which we think are very important for the city.
Well, I think we've had several discussions that if we went out to another election to the voters, we'd actually suggest that a secondary property tax cover the repayment of the capital bonds. So that would be my direction, is that at some point we put together the list of key projects that are critical for the city to maintain its existing service levels, and take it back to the voters and say, here's what we need and here's what it'll do, and if it's not passed, this is the what the level of service is going to end up being. And I think just be very matter of fact with the citizens of Mesa. And I'm not sure what that levy rate would be, maybe a quarter per thousand or whatever might work out, but I think we need to go in that direction. And I think we've had prior discussions about that we do not want to issue more debt unless there is some type of repayment source attached to it. So we've had some of those discussions as a council before in our retreats. So I think we're hearing some information that's important that we need to figure out a way to get those capital needs done. Now, the operations is a whole nother, but a lot of these aren't requiring additional personnel. So I think they fit into the category very well. So, Tom.
Thank you, Mayor. I would agree, and I would, assuming that my math is right, and Brian will tell me whether I was or not, but you know, it looks like we might be at 259 here on page 28 if you add in the extra 3.3.5 or whatever it was that I came up with. And if we add in the 40 million that the chief has continually told us he needs but it's not asking for, and we appreciate that, we're at 300 million. I'd like to see what you know, over a 50, whatever our normal bond repayment schedule is. That's the next step for me, is to tell me what that means in terms of repayment schedules, et cetera, how much the levy would be for a secondary property tax. And I think we need to make that, I mean, we need to bite the bullet or not. And there's two bites. I mean, there's ours and then there's the voters. But we need to get moving on it and make a decision.
Yeah, the second component of that would be there are some that we have voter approval for, but we have not issued, and whether we want to take that and so that we don't increase our outstanding bond debt with no repayment source. So I'm not sure how that will work out, but I think that discussion has to come back to this council also.
Okay.
All right. Other comments, Scott?
Or at least paying off a portion of that, adding to the secondary to pay for this $3 million combined O&M. for the fire stations, because we have to pay for the operation of that. We have no new revenue for operation and maintenance. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, do that on the secondary, then.
But we can pay off our old bonds.
Oh, yes.
And then use, because 15, and right now, was it $15.5 million? Currently out of our general fund is paying for...
Debt service.
Debt service. So if we were to eliminate $3 million of that out of the general fund and pay for that with a secondary, pay for the bonds with a secondary, then we can use that $3 million freed up out of the general fund to pay for the O&M.
Somewhat, but those would have paid off over 10 or 15 years anyway, so you've got to...
Right, it works for that 10 to 15 years, but the idea is then that those that debt is to fees, and then therefore the at some point 15 years out, then the debt schedule actually starts dropping, and so that capacity is already is there.
Oh, all right.
So, but we can bring all that back and kind of talk about that some more.
Okay. Yeah, but let's also recognize if we had $300 million today and we said, Chief, go build all four stations. They wouldn't be up and operating. So this $3 million a year probably isn't something that we're going to need until
three or four or five
years out.
Right,
so
exactly. Yes.
It's not something that's immediate anyway. No. So,
Mayor and Councilman Rawls, what we would do, what I hear the direction is, we'll come back with a, because we've gotten a schedule of the projects. We've identified the needs. We'll continue to refine a little bit more with the police department, the timing of those needs, and put them on a schedule, and then suggest to the council that whether it's 250 to 300 million, what the rate would have to be on a secondary property tax, is what I'm hearing, to repay that, and including in there the annual, it'll be a different number each year. It'll build up to a certain number by the fifth year when you sell all, by that time you've sold all the bonds, and you're making that payment out into the future. So we can put that together for you.
With just one authorization?
Correct. There would be one.
We don't want to go out.
No. Yeah. It's a five-year program, but there would be cells that would be over a five-year program.
Exactly.
Okay.
Scott? If I may bounce off of Tom, we wouldn't need it for 4 years, but then we could have a discussion of whether we want to staff the companies and hot bunk them, because I think there's still little room in 203, right? The bay doesn't have any bunks
on the roof.
But 217, to be in all seriousness, 217, I mean, we could put some of those companies on the east side. We can bunk them over there. Is there room that we could find? So whichever way we decide to do that, we could conceivably put those companies in service.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Yeah, I heard nobody was sleeping in the shower stall at 203. You might want to look at that. Good heavens. I am concerned with some of the things that Chief Gascon talked to us about, because those are not issues of things that would be nice to have. Those are things that we need to have, and it sounds to me like we need them sooner than 6 years out. And if we really want to look at this as a five-year capital necessity plan, then I think we have to examine some of those things that he was talking about and see what the real necessity is in that five-year window, because this looks a little bit lean to me. Thank you.
Like to run that then through the election cycle too, to see what dates would be available. It sounds like it would be a great discussion and debate for the 08 election if we're going to have a new mayor that's going to take place, just what that direction would be also. So if they're not in favor of the bonds, how do they intend on financing the city and having public safety and such being adequately staffed? And right, Rex?
One of the objections in the past is people on a property tax don't know what it's going to be spent for. Here, at least you constrain it. It's going to be spent for streets, fire, and police. And most residents I've talked to don't mind their money in paying for what they know what they get. So at least this would not be an unknown factor. They know what they're getting, how long the bonds last, and when it gets paid off and goes away. So this might be a better way to educate people about how you finance government.
Scott.
Mayor, I'm a little concerned about putting this off to 08. I think there's some political benefits to doing that with the election for mayor and president, but we're starting to push projects even farther out. The fire department's response times are going to increase. We're cutting it close with the communication system. Lord knows we need streets right now, and as we push those projects farther out, if this doesn't happen in 08, that creates even more of a crisis. I'm wondering if we, it's police, it's streets, it's fire, there's nothing extra or fluff about this. I'm wondering if a 2007 vote is more prudent.
Well, let's take a look at what has to be brought up. I know we have home rule option has to be discussed. They've now extended the election date in the 07 to an 08. I mean, so lots of things have changed, but I think that we'd need to look at the whole realm of when the whole timing of that issue. Tom?
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to meet quicker rather than later on the election if we can. And just to piggyback a little bit on what Scott has said, I'd like to see two additional things when I make the decision. I'd like to see your list of the other $40 million of items specific so that we can, you know, I'm going to frankly be doing some picking and choosing here. I'm not going to take the whole smorgasbord at one time. I look like I can do that, but I don't always eat everything on a smorgasbord. I'd also like to see, have a list of which projects from the regional transportation plan are being accelerated. I didn't see that in here, so I know which ones are being done. And then to me, you know, even a libertarian like me looks at police, fire, and streets and says this is the appropriate function of government, and if we need these funds, we need to be willing to go out and ask for them. So except for occasional, you know, maybe item by item, I'm not going to be a big fan of multi-use paths at $6.8 million, but, you know, that's a different issue. Everything else, let's get moving on it.
Other discussion? Okay. Thanks for the presentation. Next item is here reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Any reports here this morning? Vice Mayor.
We had our District 1 town hall meeting last night, and we had a nice turnout, and really appreciate all the staff members who were there to help share information.
Scott?
Mayor, I neglected to mention that you and I were at the Zounds, which is a new hearing aid technology company that is at Superstition Springs Mall. I believe that was conceived of, invented here in Mesa. It's a Mesa-based company looking for massive expansion in a corporate office here in the city, perhaps over by Williams Gateway Airport. Good location. It was interesting technology to see, and I was glad to be there.
Okay. They did open up the maintenance facility for the light rail. There's one vehicle assembled and four more on the lot, and I guess 46 more coming after that. So still looking for an opening date of, December of 2008, and ridership of about 26,000 boardings per day within a year of that opening. So, right. Kyle.
Several of us were at the Mason Man and Woman of the Year, recognizing those who contribute so much to our community through service. We have a tremendous network of volunteerism in the community. We need a lot more, but it helps us tremendously for that volunteer work that is done, and it's nice when we can recognize people for their service.
Rex.
Councilmember Summers and I were at a briefing yesterday on a new high-tech steel mill coming to our city, and Councilmember Summers' area, 100 new jobs, average price, I think average wage about $65,000. Good high-tech, clean industry. Also, I was with ADOT yesterday driving and walking the new 202 freeway and looking at the bridge challenges at McDowell, and it's still on schedule to be open in 2008. So soon we'll be connected to the rest of the cities.
Excellent. Scheduling a meeting is general information.
Thank you, Mayor. We will have our District 2 district meeting, town meeting, on February 28th, which is a Wednesday at 6 p.m. at Poston Junior High. We'll have Thursday, March 1st, we'll have a study session at 7:30. And our next regular council meeting is Monday, March 5th. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any requests to speak this morning?
We have none, Mayor.
Okay. Then the study session is adjourned.
Do we have an executive session there?
Yes. I think we do. Thank you. I do need to call to order, though, a special meeting of the Mesa City Council for the purposes of convening an executive session.
So moved.
I have a motion and second to enter into executive session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.